Go back to the text I read early in the hearing, back to John chapter 19. Several years ago, I did a series on all the sayings of Jesus on the cross. And I want to go back and strip out at least one of those sayings, as it's recorded there in verse 30, "It is finished." So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." See, the ancient Greeks highly prized the ability to say a lot in just a few words. To them, being able to set forth an ocean of meaning in a drop of language was the perfection of his oratorical skills. Our Lord was a past master of this. No one said so much in so few words as our Lord. He was unchallenged in his ability to set forth an ocean of meaning in a drop of language. This is clearly demonstrated by the various statements made by the Lord Jesus as he hung on the cross. During the long agonizing hours of his crucifixion, our Lord spoke several different sayings. "Father, forgive them, for they know what they are doing. My God, why have you forsaken me? Into your hands I commit my spirit." One was a response to the repentant thief on the cross. "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Another was giving of his mother into the care of Apostle John. "Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother." The fifth was born out of a sense of need. "I thirst." And this morning, I want us to look at the statement made by the Lord in verse 30. "It is finished." I want to try to open up, what does that mean? What was finished? And how does that apply to us? You see your outline before you. We're only going to get to the first major head. The meaning of this victorious declaration. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," what did he mean? Was it a cry of despair from a helpless martyr? Was it born out of a sense of defeat? Was he declaring that he'd been vanquished by the devil? Was it a cry of relief because of his pain and his suffering was about to end? Or was it he sensed the cold hand of death beginning to creep over him? Fortunately, this didn't happen very often when I was in the state police. But I received a phone call to investigate a pedestrian accident on Route 57 in the little hamlet of New Village. A six-year-old boy had stepped out in front of a tractor trailer carrying one of those large steel I-beams used in the construction of bridges. When I arrived at the scene, I was informed by the police radio that the boy was DOA at the Warren Hospital, dead on arrival. I won't go into the details of what happened to that little boy. But after completing the investigation at the scene, I had the unenviable task of having to go to tell the mother about the boy's death. When I arrived at the house, the mother was anxious for me. "Oh, Pastor Trooper Smith, please take me to the hospital. I want to see how my little boy is. Please." And I had to tell her, "Your son had died. He's gone." I'll never forget the loud cries and screams of that dear woman as she collapsed in my arms. As far as her son was concerned, it was finished. About a year later, I received the same kind of message. The shift sergeant had to tell me that my wife called my son been hit by a car. When I walked into Warren Hospital, I asked Jan, "How is he?" And she said, "He's gone." As for Mark's earthly life was concerned, it was finished. But that's not the case of our Lord when he cried out, "It is finished." It was a declaration of victory. Our Lord was declaring that all that which he had come to do was completely fulfilled, at least as far as his cross work is concerned. I keep saying that because the resurrection also had to take place. Our Lord was declaring that of all that which he had come to do was completely fulfilled. That which he had to be done to redeem his people from the sin was now done, complete, and finished. Now there are three avenues of approach I want to use to confirm our assertion that this sixth saying from the cross was a declaration of victory in relationship to our salvation. If you look at the bottom of your bulletin on the right-hand side, you see Melody has the word in there, tetelestai, which means it is finished. Tetelestai means complete, finished, accomplished. Tax records from ancient times had been discovered with the word telestai on it, written across the bottom, paid in full. In general, he had fulfilled the will of his Father. And as you read through the Gospel of John, you find that it was this all-consuming goal of our Lord, fulfilling the will of his Heavenly Father. John 4:34, "My food is the will to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." 5:36, "But the witness which I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, and the works that I do I bear witness to me that the Father has sent me." And the word "accomplished" there means to bring to complete, to full fruition. The earthly mission of our Lord was to bring to completion the work that his Father had given him. Everything he said and everything he did while on earth was directed to that end. That's the meaning of these words of our Lord, is made clear by that which precedes our text. Look at verse 28. "After this, knowing that all things were now accomplished, and that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst." Later on, we'll seek to determine in more detail what some of those things were that our Lord accomplished. We'll try and flush out of the scriptures those works that the Father sent him to accomplish and why he was able to say, "Tetelestai, it is finished." But for now, we need to understand that this was not a cry of anguish. It was not the cry of a defeated and humiliated martyr. It was a cry of triumph, a declaration of victory born out of the knowledge that he had accomplished his divine mission. Secondly, this is confirmed by the tense of the verb used in the original language. It's in the perfect tense. Now, I don't think I know Greek because I don't, but let me try to tell you what that means. Scholars of the Greek language, which was the primary language of the New Testament, tell us that ancient Greek was a very precise and exact language. It differs from English in that the verbs of a sentence receive the primary emphasis, whereas English primarily majors on the nouns. There are many verbs used in the Greek than in English. This is where the preciseness of the Greek languages comes to play. The variety of the verb tenses convey thoughts. The idea is that the English language does not. As a result, there are important nuances or shades of meaning that are often missed by our English translations. This is most obvious when it comes to the word here in our text, tetelestai. Perfect tense. Now just bear with me a little bit longer. There are two important aspects of the perfect tense especially as it applies to this text. The perfect tense 6 speaks of the completion of a past action. When the Lord said, "It is finished," He's saying, "What I have done was full and complete." The implication is very important. Because it was full and complete, nothing can be added to it. No works by man, no religious ritual, no offering of any kind of sacrifices, such as in the Mass or baptism, chants, incantations, confirmations, or holy effort of any kind, shape, or form. It is finished. It's complete. Nothing can be added to it. What I have done is full and complete. Nothing can be added to that which has already been fully and completely accomplished. If there is something that must be added for our redemption, and Christ was a deceiver, or worse, he was a deceiver. Either he was deceived or he was a deceiver. If there's something that could be added to what Christ had accomplished on the cross, then his words have no meaning. But this is why the tense of the verb is so important. When our Lord cried to Tetelestai, He is saying that what I have done, He had done it, was full and complete. The implications being that the work His Father had sent Him to do was full and complete, so that nothing can be added to it or needed to be added to it. And any attempt by man to add what Christ has done is to be ignorant of the implication of this cry, or an outright denial of this victorious declaration. Secondly, the perfect tense also speaks of an ongoing effect. The work of Christ was not only complete, so that nothing can be added to it, but the effects of that complete are ongoing. Because its effects are ongoing, it need never be repeated. We see how this aspect of redemptive work of Christ is highlighted again and again in the book of Hebrews. Go over to Hebrews chapter 7, please. I want to just go through a few texts in Hebrews here, which helps bring this out. Hebrews 7, talking about Jesus here, he says, in verse 26, "For such a priest, high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, separated from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered himself up." Chapter 9 and verse 11. "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his holy blood. But with his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for having obtained eternal redemption." Verse 24. "For Christ was not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but in heaven himself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another, then he would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. And then chapter 10 and verse 11. Every high priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice, sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Do you see how important the perfect tense of the word tetelestai is? When Jesus cried, "It is finished," he is saying, what I have done cannot be added to it, and its effects are eternal. His finished work reached back in time and saved all those who died on the cross. Go back to Hebrews 2. Nice. I should have kept you there. Hebrews 9. His finished work reached back in time and saved those who died in faith before the cross. Chapter 9, verse 15. For this reason, he's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. His finished work reaches forward in time to save all those given to Christ after the cross. John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up at command. This is the command I have received from the Father. So you see, his work on the cross reached all the way back and dealt with those who had died in faith under the old covenant, and reaches forward for all those that will believe. We confirm that this assertion of this sixth saying was a declaration of victory in relationship to the salvation of his people by considering the word used in the original language. We confirm this assertion, saying that the cross was a declaration of victory, by considering the tense of the verb used in the original language. What I have finished is full and complete, and nothing can be added to it. What I have finished is ongoing and never be repeated. It is finished, tetelestai. Thirdly, this is confirmed by considering the eternal purposes of God. We know that the work of the Father gave him was complete, and the full effects of it are ongoing. But we need to establish what the will of the Father was. What was it that our Lord accomplished? When he said it is finished, what did he mean? What was finished? The answer is that the redemption of his people, saving his people from their sins by offering himself as a sacrifice for sin. Titus 2:13 and 14, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for his own special people, zealous for good works. In 1 Ephesians 1:11, he tells us that he did all that before the foundation of the world. The elective purposes of God were personal, very personal, in that he chose each one by name. I like this in Isaiah 43:1. Thus says the Lord, who created you, he who formed you, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. He then wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Those who were chosen by name to be saved before the foundations of the world, God the Father gave them to Christ. It became his task to come into the world and to save them from their sins. He didn't come to redeem a faceless mass. He was very much aware of the names of each and every one given to him by the Father. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I lay my life down for my sheep. Our Lord spoke of his elect as those that the Father had given him. He was not only given the task of making salvation of the people possible by his work on the cross, but to actually and infallibly secure that salvation so that none given to him would ever be lost. Look at John 6. John chapter 6. This is the text that he used when I got saved, that the Lord used to confirm in my heart that he truly has saved me. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will no means cast out. For I have come down to from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father that sent me, that all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel are on the shoulder pads and the breastplate of the high priest who went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. Christ was not only to sacrifice our sins, but also was our great high priest. And as he hung on the cross, the names of all those that he came to redeem were on his heart and on his mind. Just think of that. Every single one who has ever been saved was on the mind of Christ as he went to the cross. And when he cried, "Tetelestai, it is finished," it was in effect saying, "I have accomplished and secured the salvation of every one of those the Father has given me." The name of each and every one in this place who is saved or will be saved was on the mind and heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. Everyone in this place that is saved or will be saved was included in that triumphal declaration, "It is finished." For those who are not saved, you have no assurance that you are included in this triumphal declaration. You cannot be certain that you are one of those given to Christ by the Father as long as you remain in your unbelief. You say, "Pastor Tom, is there a way I can be certain?" I believe there is. Just drop down to verse 40 in our chapter 6. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So as we partake of the elements this morning in our communion service, let us remember that we're here today as believers because Christ finished everything that needed to be finished as far as his cross work is concerned. And thank him for it.